us. We have one bill today, but before we ask...
Don, is it on? Hello. Before we ask Senator Block to present, let's call the roll and establish a quorum.
Roth.
Here.
Roth, Gaines, Berryhill. Berryhill here. Glazer. Glazer here. Hall.
Here.
Hall here. Hernandez.
Here.
Hernandez here. Lou.
Here.
Lou here. Mitchell. Wykoski.
Here.
Wykoski here. There you go.
Senator Block. Senator Block, Senate Bill 488, Public Insurance Adjusters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to open by thanking all of the stakeholders, and there are several, including the Department of Insurance and particularly your committee staff, for all of their help in working on this bill. We've spent a lot of time getting the bill ready for hearing, so we don't have to spend a lot of time arguing about the bill here. I think there's consensus between most of the stakeholders right now that the bill should move forward. The issues presented in SB 488 arose from an investigation by the Department of Insurance into complaints made by consumers from areas that suffered disasters, such as wildfires, earthquakes, mudslides. SB 488 establishes and enhances consumer protections. It requires all public adjuster license applicants to complete pre-licensing education, to pass a qualifying examination, and to pass a fingerprint-based background review. It allows reciprocity with other states by streamlining the process for non-residents in good standing to obtain public adjuster licenses. It aligns California's public adjuster licensing laws with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners Model Act, so California is more uniform with other states. And it prohibits a public adjuster from contacting or soliciting a consumer during a disaster if the emergency or emergency responders are still present and/or an evacuation order is still in effect. The bill also prohibits a public adjuster from receiving a portion of any claim of payments made to the consumer prior to the time the public adjuster enters into a contract with the customer. The Department of Insurance investigations revealed that some public adjusters, and there are obviously some very fine public adjusters, but some public adjusters were in some situations unfairly charging consumers when taking over partially settled claims, that they were entering disaster areas before the allotted 7 calendar days, and they were sometimes pressuring distraught consumers to enter into contracts. In order to address these issues and to provide protection to what are really a very vulnerable class of consumers, SB 488 would prohibit public adjusters from charging a fee that would result in the consumer receiving anything less than the amount previously paid to them by the insurer. And for claims that resulted from a catastrophic disaster, SB 488 would allow the consumer to cancel a public adjuster contract within 5 calendar days instead of the current 3 business days. This bill is sponsored by the Department of Insurance, supported by the California Association of Public Insurance Adjusters, the Northern California Fraud Investigators Association Anti-Fraud Alliance, and United Policyholders. There is no known opposition. I have several people here with me to testify and would urge your aye vote.
Sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Happy New Year to all. Robert Harrell, Deputy Commissioner for the California Department of Insurance. We're the sponsors of the measure. We'd like to thank all the stakeholders and Senator Block and his office. There were extensive negotiations in the off-season about this bill, in particular with the Public Adjusters Association represented by Mr. Norwood. We think we've come up with a good work product that I could characterize in two ways. One, much of the bill is based on the National Association of Insurance Commissioners model law in this area. And then the other pieces of the bill really come from some of the complaints that we've gotten over the years and investigations that our enforcement professionals conduct. I'm happy to go into more detail if necessary, but given that, we would urge your aye vote and support of the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'll start. Mr. Chairman and members, John Norwood on behalf of the California Association of Public Adjusters. Members, it's been a very long road. As introduced, this bill, we felt had a number of unwarranted changes of the regulation of public adjusters, and frankly, some of the examples of abuse didn't match the solutions that were provided by the bill. But we've spent a lot of time last year and efforts here in the fall to come to the point where we can support this bill. As indicated, it does bring California more in compliance with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners Model Act. It clarifies some ambiguities in current law that resulted, I think, in some possible enforcement violations. And lastly, it's just a better bill for consumers. So with that, again, we support the bill, and we urge you to move the bill to the Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Amy Bach, and a policyholder advocate. I run a nonprofit organization called United Policyholders. In fact, we're going to be in your district tonight. Senator Berryhill, I believe Dana from your office will be with us, teaching a workshop for people who lost everything in the Butte wildfire last fall. And we provide independent guidance, and we're a 501c3. So we're very familiar. We've been working for 25 years since the Oakland fire in wildfire areas to give people good decision-making tools, give them information so each person can make the decision for themselves that's going to be in their best financial interest. And so we were involved in the discussions about this bill from the beginning, and we work very closely with the department. We're very supportive of the profession of regulated, licensed, educated public adjusters. We think that they provide an important service for consumers, but we, as we say in our letter, and I have copies if any of you'd like to see it, that we think that SB 488 is a measured approach to protecting vulnerable disaster victims from overly aggressive solicitations when they are really a mess and are not in a position to make financial decisions, but also we want to make sure that professional public adjusters can provide valuable services. We have seen the value that an experienced negotiator who understands coverage and understands the process can really be incredibly important. And on the fee issues that are discussed in this bill, we've spent many years getting educated and going back and forth with CAPIA and NAPIA, the two trade associations, to understand their view on what we need to do to make sure that quality PAs can earn a fair fee for their work and balance that with making sure that consumers are properly protected. So I think we got a good product, and I'm proud. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your effort. Any other witnesses in support or opposition? Or in between? Sure. Come on down.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Please state your name for the record.
Yes. My name is Holly Soffer. I am the legal counsel for the American Association of Public Insurance Adjusters, which is a national trade organization that represents public adjusters and consumers. And we really do support this bill in its entirety, except for one sentence. So that's why we came in as neutral with concerns. And our only concern is in section 1501.6.10, and I'll explain that, and that is the limitation on compensation for apprentice public adjusters. That section establishes the apprentice program, which again is right out of the Model Act, and says that these apprentices can only be compensated on a salaried or hourly basis. And the only problem that we have with that is that a lot of public adjusters, most of them, when they're paid, they get a percentage of the insurance claim. So they have to, when they pay their employees, they're on a commission basis. Whether they're independent contractors or actual employees, they're still paid on a commission basis. So in a lot of cases, when these people first start out as apprentices, what they first do is they shadow the licensed public adjuster, and they go out and they look at the loss and they decide whether, and they examine the property, and they're basically soliciting claims. And in those instances, the public adjuster may never receive a fee because they may not take the case, it may not work out, but they still have to pay those apprentices on a salaried or hourly basis, so they're laying out money for that they never receive back. So that's the only change that we would have in the bill is to either, I mean, there are two ways to change that. One way is to just say, for solicitation purposes, they can be paid on a commission basis, or to just strike that whole line and allow those apprentices to be paid on a commission basis as well as an hourly or salaried basis, or at some point in their program, their apprenticeship, have that switch. The easiest way is to just strike it entirely. And that's really our, and I realize that does also come from the Model Act, that sentence, but that's in the optional section. It's not in the actual body of the Model Act. And the reason for that was the same discussion that was held back in 2004 and 2005 when the Model Act was drafted. We had the same problem with it back then, and in fact, most states haven't adopted that section. So other than that, we support the bill in its entirety.
So the apprentices are actually soliciting work?
They are, because that comes under the definition of public adjusting in the new definition.
Because obviously you have to be getting a sale in order to have a legitimate commission payment.
Exactly. And they're not doing it on their own. They're doing it in conjunction with the licensed public adjuster. They're basically shadowing the public adjuster and doing what the public adjuster does, and that's how they learn the business. And we have the support of the California Association behind us with this provision.
Well, you're certainly going to want to check the California Labor Code and perhaps touch base with the labor commissioner as to whether a commission payment under that circumstance would be permissible if the apprentice is not actually engaged in the sale of goods or services.
Well, they're doing it that way now.
Well,
but I know that this apprentice program will change things.
Right. I assume you're working with the author on this.
We are.
Okay.
Well, with this.
Senator Henderson.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. First of all, let me thank the author for working with the public adjusters to come to an agreement. I don't like to write law in committee, so obviously we can't do it now.
Oh, well, we understand
but
that.
But I'd like to at least, maybe if we can further the conversation, maybe, you know, after this, because if you look at somebody who's an apprentice who's trying to learn, but if you have different rules set by somebody who may not even get the job and then not get the contract, and then yet they're still responsible to pay this individual, and they're out of pocket as well. So if there is a possibility to look at that, maybe we should look at some kind of resolution. But I'm now in support of the bill. I'd like to just make a comment about public adjusters. So prior to this, I didn't even know what a public adjuster was. I do have a neighbor who is a public adjuster, and all I knew is that he did something with fires, and that's it. So I just want to share a personal story. A little over a year ago, my parents own a home who they rented to my oldest daughter. The home got on fire, and my mom, who was like in her mid-80s, didn't know what to do. I'm busy. I didn't know what to do. I just says, call Gary. I think he does something with public with fires. He was a public adjuster, and he walked them through, put my parents at ease, did a public service for them, and was the most helpful person. My mom swears by him and makes them tamales every year for Christmas now. So,
can I have some?
No. So they do a public service. And yes, there may be some bad actors, but it's an ethical industry, and I'm very supportive, and I want to thank the author for working with the public adjusters. Anyway. I'm prepared to move the bill.
Thank you, Dr. Ed. Any other witnesses? Did you?
Just a comment.
Sure.
Good afternoon. I'm Kara Cross with the Personal.
Well, I'll listen to the testimony first.
Personal Insurance Federation of California. We are neutral with concerns as well, and really I just wanted to come and thank the author for working with us and agreeing that we will be able to continue talking about our concerns in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for your efforts.
Mr. Chairman, can I have one last comment? Absolutely. I just wanted to thank you for the availability of your staff. You've spent an inordinate amount of time on this bill and was very helpful in terms of bringing everybody together. Wanted to recognize that.
Staff are great, right? Yes. Members, questions, comments?
Yeah, a comment, Mr. Chairman. Just I too want to thank the author for working hard on. There was a lot of problems with this bill last year, and you've come a long way. It's not often that you get everybody walking arm in arm. Sounds like you got just a couple glitches left, but again, I think this bill certainly warrants moving forward. I'd like to move it at the appropriate time.
Thank you, sir. Senator Witkowski.
Am I on? Can you highlight the experience that we had last year with our three fires and the public adjusters? We were concerned at testimony about the vulnerability of the public. And, you know, we have the insurance agents in a natural environment would like to settle the claim immediately and have the person off because that's I'm closing the book, and the public adjusters are supposed to be representing the consumers. For the three big fires that we had, were there incidences or higher incidences of these concerns that are raised in the, you know, the reason for this bill?
Senator, it's an excellent question. What usually happens with these more severe fire incidences, of which we had some major ones last year, as you know, two in the top 10 of all time, is that there's a bit of a lag time that occurs. And given the timing of these fires, essentially sort of early last fall, what happens in these kinds of situations is there's usually a few months before you get to the situation where a public adjuster may get more involved. Sometimes that's based on a consumer's frustration with their insurer, what's going on. So we don't have hard data on the last batch. Much of the examples from our investigators and enforcement unit were from previous fire incidents. We do know and had some information about the so-called kind of blackout period. There are periods where you can't be soliciting while an event is still going on. Partly that's a public safety concern, and then partly it's consumer protection to make sure that, again, we're talking about consumers who in some cases, this is their most valuable asset in their life, and they're in an extremely stressful situation. So they're trying to take all this information in, and folks like United Policyholders, the public adjusters themselves, attempt to provide a public service for the relatively rare number of cases, I should note, where a public adjuster gets involved. I think it's somewhere in the low to mid, maybe upper single digits percentage, depending on what you're talking about, where a public adjuster even gets involved. The overwhelming majority of these cases are settled between the insured, the policyholder, and their insurance company and their own employee adjusters, or in some cases, so-called independent adjusters who have a contract with the insurer get involved. I hope that's responsive to
your
question.
No, I mean, we're always, when these events occur, right, we're worried about the vulnerability, and most of us don't have a experience with a fire or a devastation, but we know we have regular insurance claims on an automobile accident or a home destruction or something like that. And, you know, if you say, I want to get a lawyer, that usually puts the skids on everything, and I see the public adjusters serving a role, particularly I think in the commercial field, where it's not so easy to come to a number on what the loss is, and you need an advocate for yourself. So I just want to know how the three fires, how that was.
I did check as recently as last week, Senator, with our Consumer Services and Market Conduct Branch, because those are the folks that then get the first leads. Again, we get about 175,000 calls to our hotline a year. Those leads then come in through that. They then get routed appropriately to enforcement or whatnot. Those are kind of just starting to come in. So for me to speak about this incident would be premature. I do know that we were engaged in the sort of disaster centers, and I see Amy Bach coming to the table maybe to talk a little bit about UP's experience at those disaster centers to try to help consumers through those first couple waves when everything is happening. But the data that's relevant to that piece of it tends to come later in the process a bit.
Very little understood. It's just not, you know, because statistically so few people ever have people just don't know about. And I think a lot of insurance carriers have sort of a knee-jerk concern about them that hopefully is going to evolve over time as you know, insurers use more methods that you know they try to mechanize claim adjusting more and more for efficiency. There seems to be more need for people to have somebody to pull their paperwork together and document their loss for them and negotiate for them. Not everyone, but some people. So I am hoping that this is going to help get a greater understanding on all sides, because I think that from a carrier's perspective, sometimes it's actually great to have a claim professional helping the insurer, because it can actually balance. Speed things up, because they're right. Talking the same language. You know, they're talking about per square foot, this and that, and you know, code upgrades and things that the average homeowner doesn't know anything about. So I think, you know, again, I feel like we.
Mm-hmm. Senator, but Mr. Vice Chair,
okay.
I apologize. We have competing committees. What we have, we're going to lose our votes here. So, Mr. Vice Chair,
Very brief, but I want to thank the author for bringing this forward. And you know, my background is as an insurance agent, and we have had claims that on. Particularly on the commercial side, when you start dealing with inventory, loss of use of a building, that can become very complicated in terms of determining what is the right settlement amount on a claim. So as an agent, I like the fact that my clients have that option. They've got an option, they've got another place to go to make sure that their claim is being handled in a fair manner, and it's very rare. It just does not happen that often, but it is an option that's available to the consumer. So, thank you.
Bill, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved. Members, any questions you must ask?
I just have just a teensy thing that cannot be solved. But I'm just curious. You have a new definition for catastrophic disasters that is extensive, and it's a minimum of 25 properties, et cetera, and declares the disaster has to be declared by the governor or the president. In the civil code, we allow municipals also to declare disasters. So I'm just curious as to why this is not included.
So, Senator, to briefly answer your question, there's a definition that's related to the independent adjusters and one to the public adjusters. We will take a fresh look at this catastrophic definition, because there are some situations where you don't want to disadvantage consumers because there has not been a gubernatorial declaration of disasters. We're committed, I think, with all the stakeholders, we can come up, whether it's the independent adjuster, when there's a four-year difference between when one came in and when the other came in. Our objective as a department on behalf of the commissioner would be to protect as many consumers as comprehensively as possible with a catastrophic definition.
Thank you very much.
Public comment? Seeing none, it's been moved. Please call the roll.
Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. Berryhill? Berryhill, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hall? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. Okay.